I've seen many street preachers. This is probably the biggest crowd.
Do you know what the Bible says about a beautiful hoe? Oink, oink!
Her making fun of women for lack of chastity, it's not Christian.
She is so edgy.
They say you can't be vulgar, and I said the Bible's vulgar.
You let him put his penis where?
No, no, no!
I've had the margarita sermonette.
If you buy her one margarita, she will spread her legs.
It's never been something I would have put online because it's not appropriate.
I think she's a troll, to be honest.
She's like super relatable.
It's kind of like shock value help.
And
of,
she even talks about her own wholeness, how she herself.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear that next.
I haven't always been a Christian. I used to be a Lolo hoe.
There's a larger message to it.
I just have to seek the Lord and preach what God tells me to preach.
The division between Christians online is immense. In this series, we will press into tough conversations, disagree with love, and humanize the person behind the screen.
Join us as we discover the real lives of some of the most influential Christian figures.
Hey, we're Paul and Morgan, and we can't wait for you to watch this episode of 24 Hours With.
I had the opportunity to spend the day with Sister Cindy and join her while she headed off to campus to preach and do her thing. Sister Cindy has become a TikTok sensation, turning heads and drawing crowds. PSA, some of the language Cindy uses is quite colorful and will undoubtedly ruffle some feathers. We'll get to more on that. I ask that before making strong judgments about Sister Cindy, you watch the full video.
Now, enjoy perhaps our most controversial episode of 24 Hours With so far.
Bringing the Ho No Mo revolution to you.
So, Cindy, you got a very warm welcome. Is that normal when you step on campus?
Yes. You see students spot me and they want selfies. And sometimes they'll even follow me to the preaching spot.
And you got some flowers there as well.
Yes.
So students will give you gifts?
Yes. He said he's a big fan and I'm loving my roses.
Can I get a Ho No Mo button?
Yes.
I got to be repping it. Show us. Show the camera. Why do you, I mean, these things are like gold. Why do people like these so much?
It offers hope. Even if they're not serious about being a Ho No Mo now, everybody likes the hope that they can change and their life can be better. Everybody can have a better life in Jesus Christ.
P-A-U-L.
Are you never a Ho or?
I'm never a Ho. Yeah. Never.
Are you still videoing?
I'm your son.
This is only for virgins or people that married virgins.
So give me that one then.
I have a virginity quiz. But this guy, he failed it. I had to mark his name out. So, Paul, I'm going to put you here. Never a hoe. For virgins. You know, finding a virgin on a college campus is like finding a unicorn. But it does happen. There are fine men and women on campuses.
I'll wear this one then. Thank you. Very good. So, Cindy, yes. What are you hoping to accomplish today?
I'm bringing the Ho No Mo revolution. Of course, the Ho No Mo slogan is a hook. It gets their attention. And I want to ultimately lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, there's no peace and there's no joy. So I want them to know that they can have new life in Christ.
Feels good to be back on campus again. Doesn't feel like that long ago. I was out here, college student. Welcome home, old boy. Welcome home.
Tell us a little bit about your outfit, Cindy.
Well, this scarf was one of the last gifts, Christmas gifts, I gave my husband, Brother Chad, about 5 years ago. I've got his mantle. He's the one who taught me everything I know. He started this and led me to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. What about the colors, the color scheme you have going on?
Oh, well, I've got my pink sweater from Hollister, my skirts from Talbot's, Doc Martens are the pink, bringing it all together. They're very comfortable for preaching and the students think I'm cool. I've got my Lululemon leggings, comfortable. And my Journey socks, my favorite place to buy socks. And I've got my Lululemon bag. It is wonderful to bring the Honomo Revolution to you today. You've got to make a believer out of me. Are you really Honomo or not? Honomo!
Honomo! Honomo!
I get this message all the time. Sister Cindy, I'm a Honomo. I have a boyfriend now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Ladies, if you are doing the dirty with boyfriend, you are still a ho. And God is not impressed with your fiance. Sex is for married people. And if you are not married, it is what the Bible calls fornication. In other words, the Bible clearly teaches hell is hot. Don't be a thought. You remember the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery? They brought her to Jesus. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. But then he said something else that maybe you didn't notice.
What did he say?
He said, go and sin no more. In other words, be a hoe no more.
What are your honest thoughts on Sister Cindy and the message that she brings to campus?
I just think she's super funny and, like, I don't know. I feel like when it comes to a lot of preachers, she's, like, very, like, compassionate and, like, super, like, engaging. I'm not even Christian, but I love listening to her because she, like, she's, like, super relatable. And, like, again, like, I just like how funny she is. She, like, still kind of brings this message that she still loves. Like, she still loves you regardless, but she just, like, wants the best for you, you know?
I think she's a troll, to be honest. Like, she was, like, up there messing around, and, like, she wanted reactions out of people. So, like, I gave her a reaction, you know? But I think she's a Christian, but, like, she's, like, doing it for the entertainment, you know? Like, there's no way Sister Cindy's actually, like, that mentally, like, confused. It's my opinion.
Do you consider yourself a Christian?
Yeah, I am a Christian, actually.
Okay. And you feel like her Christian message, do you think it does more harm or more good
overall? Oh, for sure more harm. Like, there's no one out there who's, like, looking at her and, like, you know what? Maybe I see what she's saying. I want to, like, convert to Christianity. I think, if anything, she's, like, dividing both sides, you know?
And out here today, we're going to be gender fluid. So, how can be male or female? There is only one way to be a Honomo. One way and one way only, my dears. And that one way is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do see some beautiful hoes out there, though. Yes. The Bible speaks of beautiful hoes. We find it in Proverbs 11. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman without discretion. Oink, oink!
Can you give me your honest thoughts on Sister Cindy?
It's a very interesting approach to get people like to the gospel. I mean, I can't really say that it doesn't work because I don't know, but I can't really say that it does work because I don't know. But I think it's very interesting. Some of the things that she says and does is like the cussing and things like that. But I mean, if it works, it works.
She's kind of, I think through social media, has become like this larger than life character. And so everyone's like, I want to experience that. It's a fun environment. I think it's, everyone has a blast. And so I don't think I'd ever meet anyone who would be like, oh, I'm mad that Sister Cindy is here. You know, I think everyone's glad that she's here. We're all having fun and everything's great.
I take my faith seriously, and as someone who wants to bring the love of Christ to people, her making fun of women for lack of chastity, it's not Christian. And she just makes the mindset towards people who might be open to the Christian faith, it turns them against it, and it turns it into a laughing matter. And it turns the mercy that Christ offers every single person on this earth into something that is laughable and a joke. And quite frankly, it's not okay.
Here I am with who?
I'm Alex.
Yes, he just got a Honomo button. Show it.
I'm reformed.
Together, everybody, it's time to be a
Honomo.
Not only was the woman at the well a mega hoe, who gave me that mega hoe thing? I think you need a hoe. I suppose the Christians are not good on campus are not gonna like that I'll be calling people mega hoes. They'll be telling me that's the wrong approach, and it'll be your fault. Thank you for the mega hoe line. Yes, I am a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But I haven't always been a Christian. I used to be a Lolo Ho. Who knows God here?
She's right in front of me.
That's eternal life. If you really know God. Now, Jesus did ask the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? He also said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. So when you know him, you will do his will.
Can you just give me your honest thoughts on Sister Cindy?
I think out of all of the quote-unquote religious nutjobs that have come on campus, she's pretty bottom scale on terms of aggression, so I'm here for it. We're all having fun, but I don't believe that she's using the word of God to the fullest intent to actually better people. I think it's just kind of not screaming at, which is most of the people with the pickets and signs do, but I'm out here selling t-shirts as a counter protest because I think it's funny, and I'm putting my marketing degree to good work.
Did you get a no ho no mo pin?
Yes, I did, actually.
How did you get it?
So when she was talking about scripture, she was talking about what everlasting life actually meant. And so some people think, oh, it's just heaven, but it's really, there's more to it. And it's actually being within the presence of God. And that's a really powerful thing.
Would you consider yourself a Christian?
I grew up in it. I'm exploring it again. I fell out of it for a few years. Yeah, things kind of went sideways later in high school and then early into college. I'm getting better. I've gotten back into church.
As someone who is coming back to the faith and pursuing it once again, Sister Cindy, do you feel like she is someone that is helping people that might be in a similar place as you?
I would think that, listen, she is reaching out to an audience of people who don't believe at all. And even if they don't believe, they're hearing God's word. Have you ever heard of, there's this vocal group that I can't remember, but the first guy's name is Mark. He's like a comedian. The Gaithers. There is a lead singer in that does comedy, like in some of their like music. the people might be laughing, but they're really hearing God's word. They're singing together. They're having fun together. This is a similar thing, though some of it might be a little much, but that's completely fine because that's the audience she's talking to. They're still hearing the word of God. They're still having fun with each other. I mean, there's a little entertainment factor in it too, yeah. Which is awesome. And then she's been blowing up on TikTok through like, it's just a great medium.
So what would you say to Christians who hear her and say, this is not helping, it's doing more harm than good?
There's a truth to that and there's a not truth to that. I still feel like she's getting the word out. She's planting a seed, I think. I feel like the only way you can plant a seed is kind of be crazy. Like if you're attracting attention, I'm not gonna see an ant walking across that set of steps, but if I see a dog charging at me, you know, more shock factor brings more attention. It's kind of like sneak attack teaching. You're saying, hey, this is over here, but you're secretly feeding them carrots, like taming a horse.
I don't know how my hair looks.
Hey, we'll talk about it. Sister Cindy, you fought through the rain. How are you holding up?
My hair is kind of a mess, huh?
I looked back out there and I saw you as it was raining. You don't have a very big jacket on. I was just like, man, she's a trooper.
Yeah, it was kind of fun preaching in the rain. And then the crowd was smaller, but they were into it. They cared enough to stay in the rain. I thought that was cool.
It's like a little show. It's like Jeff Dunham show. Jeff Dunham says controversial stuff all the time, and he's still running. And Sister Cindy's doing the same thing, but it's because she carries a religion with her that people have a problem, which is hilarious.
And she's a woman.
Ooh.
There's actually a Catholic group community is actually down there, and one of the people brought out a rosary and is down there praying.
Yeah, they're angry.
Trying to like pray her away.
Oh, wow. I did not notice
isn't
that.
Isn't she ordained?
Yeah.
She's an ordained
sister. She's like yelling
sister.
At her.
Why do you feel like some Christians or just some groups despise her so much?
Because she's saying,
she's a slut shamer.
She's a slut shamer. She's saying words that's like,
I think she can change. I think we can sway her over to the dark side.
Yeah. Kind of like shock value help. Like shock value humor.
Exposure therapy. Yeah,
and she even talks about her own wholeness, how she
herself. We're waiting to hear that next. She's about to come back and talk about her own ho lore.
Oh my goodness.
So we're going to learn today.
So you guys aren't going anywhere then?
Oh, not for a while.
Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying this episode of 24 Hours With.
We have seen so much division online between Christians, and so we decided to do something about it. So here we are, having real, raw conversations, all for the sake of unity.
But we can only keep it going with your help.
If you guys are loving these episodes, and you believe in the mission of this project, and you want to support it, become a patron at any tier. But if you're looking to get exclusive behind the scenes content, helping come up with questions for our next guest, and get early access watch parties, we would encourage you guys to become a patron of the 24 Hours With tier.
Go to patreon.com/Paul and Morgan Show. The link is below.
Woo!
Thank you so much.
You mentioned earlier that overall, millennials are not fans of Sister Cindy, but Gen Z really likes you. Why do you think that
is? Well, millennials have no sense of humor.
Oh, I'm a millennial.
They're so negative. Yes, there are a lot of great millennials, and I love the millennials. Gen Z, they can laugh at themselves. And one of the first lessons in life is learning to laugh at yourself.
I continued in my sin, living the whole life. You see, in the 70s, we were the peak of the sexual revolution. Yes? Do you know what our generation did, your generation? Over 40 STDs. So don't say we never gave you anything.
I find this, I feel like Cindy is this crazy phenomenon because she is preaching hard stuff and using language that even makes my jaw drop. My never a ho jaw drop to the floor. And I'm just like, she's savage. But then I see this crowd that is just like leaning forward, hanging on her every word. Obviously they're like chuckling and all that, but like they're very engaged. And it's just this small elderly woman with such an engaged crowd, and she is preaching. I, you know, she's combining entertainment, she's combining
raunch, if you will, but it's like she's speaking their language. And so you can have all these people that I'm sure many do not agree with what she's saying, but they show up and they listen and they engage with her. And it's fast. I feel like we're witnessing a phenomenon. I feel like we're witnessing back in the Greek times when you go to the, whatever you call them, Colosseum, not Colosseum, Parthenon, the places where the mighty orators of old would come and they'd be bringing a word that was like disruptive and people would want to come and hear their word and they'd command the attention of the crowd. That's kind of what Cindy is. I'm fascinated by it, and doing these interviews, I'm just like, well, you know, what are they about to say? And it's just fascinating to see people that seem to pretty clearly not subscribe to Christianity, or at least in the traditional full sense, and yet they care to show up. She's connecting with the students where they are, literally from the way she dresses to the phrases she uses and the terminology and some of the raunchy terminology. She's meeting them where they're at here on campus, meeting them in their lives. And then she's sprinkling in the gospel. Also, if nothing else, I think this is some of the most fun. I mean, I was a college student. I rarely saw as much fun and interaction and engagement. It feels like there's genuine unity. These people that come to listen to her and stand out here, and when it's drizzling and raining and chilly and they're locked in, they're having fun.
Jesus, I repent. I turn from my sins and selfishness to love and obey you always. And right out there in that Crystal Hamburger parking lot, Cindy Lassiter became a ho no mo. The Bible says if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Who would like to start all over today? God is the God of second chances. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. So I found peace of mind through a relationship with God the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. We had a lot of liars out here today. They were saying they love God with all their heart, and then the next minute, they were saying they were hoes, raising their hand, bragging about the whole life. That's not loving God. That's being a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him truly is the love of God perfected. It is amazing how much God loves us. As Christians, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Now, if you were the second person of the Trinity, would you decide, volunteer to become a man, take on human flesh, and come into this mess of a world? Would you do that? No.
Yeah, no.
That is the love of God, that he became a man for us. And then he preached the good news. He healed everybody that came to him. We know the greatest act of love was when Jesus died on the cross. Today, want to repent? You want to? Praise God. Anybody else want to come forward and pray with me? Real? You do need to count the cost. None of this easy believism. You have to repent. You have to have a change of heart. You have to be willing to turn from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. If Jesus died on the cross for us, we can live for him.
I want to come down and pray with me? You ready to forsake your sin?
Yes.
Anybody else? Okay, pray after me. Grant me, O Lord,
Grammy Award.
A mind to know you.
A mind to know you.
The last probably quarter of her time on campus was very sober. It was very sincere. It was a more intimate crowd, more heartfelt. And she did a genuine altar call. I was getting a little emotional. It was really amazing. I guess I didn't necessarily expect that, just from all the stuff I had seen, all the viral clips, but like it was very real and raw and beautiful. So that's a celebration, baby. Can you tell us kind of what compelled you to go up?
Just like, I mean, from the start of like the message, like it essentially is like, yeah, if you sin and you live a life of sin, then sinful things are just going to happen to you, or just bad things are going to happen to you. And like, she made some really good points about like, especially with lust particularly, like, yeah, it's the whole shtick is like, yeah, slut shaming, we're out here to slut shame. But like, I mean, who else is going to say it? That's the thing. Who else is going to call them, especially college kids? Who else is going to call college kids out for it? It's not an attacking way or like, all of you are like sinners, you're going to hell. It's like, here's what you're doing and here's how you can fix it. And here is like, how you can give yourself new purpose. The self-gratification, I've never heard anything that spoke most like that most to me. Like self-gratification. Because I'm going to be honest, that's how I've been living. The whole self-gratification, and like, it's a horrible way to live. You can't live to satisfy yourself.
Are you going to look back at today and say, something happened today, like, I made a decision today?
Yeah, no, it was moving. I'm going to read a Bible. I haven't picked up a Bible in probably 6 years, I want to say. Sister Cindy was enough to like, genuinely move me to something like that. I just thought it was going to be a funny little sit down, you know, laugh a little bit, preach with her, yell some things, but then it
just viral clips that you see on TikTok and everything.
Yeah, like it's kind of cherry picked, like, but there's a larger message to it. It's, you just got to watch it yourself.
Sister Cindy, how did you feel like today went?
It was wonderful.
As I was witnessing the way that you interacted with the crowd, there were a few things that you said or alluded to, and it was like the crowd immediately like got super energized. Uh-huh. One was you mentioned a girl going to a Mexican restaurant with a guy and she gets a margarita, and then like the crowd started getting...
She wants you to buy her a margarita!
You've got a margarita song. How did that come about, and what are the words to the margarita song?
Okay, I've had the margarita sermonette for years.
If you buy her one margarita, she will spread her leg.
It's never been something I would have put online because it's not appropriate.
Okay,
but
I'm scared.
All my stuff is online because they film it and put it online. That chick Angel lifted my sermon and made a rap song. Have you heard it?
I think so. I think yeah. Maybe
it's,
it was
titled,
like, ooh.
One Margarita.
I maybe pushed pause on it. It was starting to get a little...
Give me one margarita, I'ma open my leg.
And she was almost true to pretty much what I said.
Okay.
When it became viral, that was in June of 2023, last June. They had me at the beginning preaching, and then she was given the rap song that's really vulgar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was discouraged at first because what? We're supposed to have a Honomo revolution going on, and this song is so popular. That's so vulgar. And it's been taken from my sermon. She flipped it around. But the Lord just gave me a peace. And he said, I've got this. And 1 week later from when it became viral, he gave me my margarita song that you heard me do on campus. But I don't sing it.
One margarita and you start to slide. Two margaritas, and you lose your pride. Three margaritas, and you're empty inside. Four margaritas, and your heart's stone cold. Five margaritas, and you've been told. Five margaritas and you lose your soul. But what did Jesus talk to the woman, the hoe, about? One living water. Because Jesus came. Two living water. Because a hoe can change. Three living water. Break that hoe chain. Four living water. And the cross gets plain. Five living water and a hoe's born again. Five living water and you slay life's game. Hoe no mo revolution.
I did sing it when I recorded it with my daughters because I don't have a singing voice. But you know how they can fix it on a recording. Yes. And I published it as, you know, an alternative to the One Margarita song.
I like yours better.
Drink one margarita and you start to slap. Drink two margaritas and you lose your pride. Drink three margaritas, you're empty inside.
It still packs a punch, but it's the clean version. Our patron Luke said to ask, he said, I'd be curious to know how she reconciles her language slash choice of phrasing.
You let him put his penis where?
With the call to speak with grace as though seasoned with salt. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Jesus did get blunt with the religious elite, but not like this. Also, his abrasiveness in Matthew 23 didn't seem to be his norm, nor was it the way he gently confronted the multitudes with truth. How would you respond to some of your more vulgar, abrasive terminology, phrasing?
Well, I think the proverb to the froward, God will show himself froward. So this is a very perverted,
froward. That's a King James word there? What's a more modern phrase?
Well, it actually means perverted. It's
Oh, wow, okay.
Not that I am perverted or God is perverted, but you can use what they love and turn it on them. And that's what I'm really doing, is saying, is this really what you want to be? This is what you're calling yourself. I believe that God is always doing a new thing in evangelism, and we should always be open to a new thing. You mentioned altar calls. Well, they aren't in the Bible. People gave their own altar call. Does that mean it's wrong to have an altar call because it's not in the Bible? I don't see Jesus giving an altar call. Or praying the sinner's prayer, like I didn't do the sinner's prayer today, but often I pray the sinner's prayer with people. That's another new tactic. But Christians always want to put evangelism in their little box. And that really does a disservice to our young people who we want to hear from God and do what God calls them to do. Now, a new thing always has to go along with principles in the Bible. I guess a person has to judge if I have the grace of God or not, and if my message is graceful. But for me, I just have to seek the Lord and preach what God tells me to preach.
I found it interesting. There were a couple of girls super polite in the elevator as we were leaving. They kind of gently pressed on you in regards to some of the vulgar language, and I was actually really intrigued by your answer. Can you repeat it here?
Yeah, in Ezekiel, I said 17, but I can't remember for sure if that's, but I know it's in Ezekiel. God has the prophet Ezekiel rebuke the women of Israel, and he rebukes them in a very vulgar way. He says that they have committed whoredoms, and the way they did it, they left their husbands, they went and had relations with Egyptian men because their private parts were donkey size and their ejaculations were like horses.
So it's kind of like people getting really on you for some of the terminology you use.
And I just say, they say you can't be vulgar, and I say the Bible's vulgar. It's a vulgar book.
Do you have a line in your mind? Are you like, well, there is a line that I'm not going to cross? Or would you say anything for the sake of kind of like the good justifies, the end justifies the means?
Well, there are words that I definitely don't say when I'm preaching. I just try to always be led of the Lord. I take what I do very seriously. I have heard street preachers confess that instead of praying and seeking the Lord, they just go out and use one-liners. And those preachers were against me, like they put that on me. Well, I don't do that. I've never done that. I've always sought the Lord. And now that I have such popularity and my husband is gone, who was the one I looked to for leadership, I pray much more. I don't just think, okay, what's going to get attention out there and get them going? Or how can I be vulgar today and get their attention? No, I'm like, God, help me. And not only help me to say the right thing, but that God, the Holy Spirit, will be there. I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, being there is much more important than anything I say, although I take what I say seriously. The interesting thing is the students, none of them were saying I was judging them. It's just the establishment Christians and these...
Uh-oh.
That are saying I'm judging.
It was probably 8 years ago. I attended at a local campus. You guys came. I just remember it felt like the crowd was vicious. And the campus preacher was, I think, someone you've traveled with. It wasn't you specifically that time, but it was just like an intense back and forth. And I was like, whoa, this is intense. Today, it was, I felt like you were literally a celebrity.
Oh, yeah. They act like Elvis has entered the building.
I had no idea. I mean, going in there with you and I'm looking around and like people are just like rushing over. I'm hearing gasps. What has changed from 12 years ago to today?
I see it as the favor of God, a move of God. It's not anything I did. God did it. He gave me favor, just like he gave the Israelites favor so that the Egyptians gave them their jewelry. Why'd they do that? Okay, you're leaving. Here, take all our jewels. And God did it through the TikTok. It was not anything I planned. I was totally happy with the ministry before. I always had a heart for revival and to see more people come to Christ, which is the great thing about this. I even have personally led people to the Lord because of that Chick Angel's Margarita song. Margarita. The crowds are fun, the popularity is fun, but the beauty of all this is the connection with so many people. I've been able to connect and lead people to the Lord.
So our patron Steffo asked a question. Where did you get the idea of ho no mo?
Okay, I have to confess, it's not original with me.
Gasp!
There are lots of things
show us the pen.
That preachers say that are not original. So we had been saying it for years. And it became viral and connected with me. It was just one of my many lines. I have a list of one-liners on my phone. And I've been using one-liners. My husband was the master of one-liners. So was Holy Hubert Lindsay. So ho no mo, I know three different preachers that have claimed it originated with them. Students started coming up to me with their cameras saying, Sister Cindy, say ho no mo.
It's got a ring to it for sure. And
they know they've gone through the ho phase. They may be going through the ho phase, they call it, or their ho era. But the idea of being a ho no mo gives them hope. And that's why it caught on.
And I
just went with it.
Is that one of the reasons the pins are such hot commodities? I have not seen people try to get their hands on these ho no mo pins. It is like crazy.
I know.
They want them so bad. And then the fact that you personalize them to the people's names.
Yeah, she autographed it and she addressed it to me. I'm very proud of it.
Yes, he just got a Honomo button.
I think you need a Honomo.
It's a great way to control the crowd and to get them to listen to what may be the less interesting parts of my message, like to just tell the woman at the well story or stand out there and read it. They're not going to be so interested as if I make them tell the story by giving a button.
The way you tell that story is spicy. And the crowd is so engaged with it.
Not only was the woman at the well a mega hoe. Oh. Who gave me that mega hoe thing? I think you need a hoe. Now. As she goes to get the water, Jesus asked her a question. What was it?
Give me a drink.
For water, yes, Honomo button. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him
shall thirst no more.
Yes. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well or a spring of water springing up into everlasting life. Wow. Jesus is offering her eternal life.
Another one of our patrons, Mark, asked this question, and I hope this doesn't come across offensive, but I would be curious. He watched a little of your content, at least the viral videos that one might come across. I'm assuming he maybe saw some of those, and he wrote in and said, does she think she is fulfilling the mission of Westboro Baptist Church?
No, Westboro Baptist, number one, they're Calvinist. And I am the totally opposite of a Calvinist.
I heard that today.
And all of the 5 points of Calvinism, I disagree with.
Okay.
All five. And also, Westboro Baptists, they believe that gay people are damned, that there's no hope for them. And I believe there's hope for everybody. If you're breathing, there's hope for you.
Amen.
So everybody needs to repent of their sins and follow Jesus, whether they're gay or straight, and everybody is offered the mercy of the Lord.
Amen. So you feel like if someone were to see some of your more intense moments and then try to relate you or put you in the same vein as Westboro Baptist, you'd say that's not fair?
Well, I don't think they're looking very deeply or very discerning if they put me at the same as Westboro Baptist. Another thing is I've never seen Westboro Baptist have a crowd of people listen to them, but then I've never seen them before.
And honestly,
that's
a great point. When
I've seen
a few of their videos, the people are either just disgusted by them, and I don't know a lot about them, but just disgusted by what they're doing, or like really angry.
They go to events to protest certain things or certain organizations, is my understanding. I've never met them.
I didn't expect things, probably for the last hour of your time on campus today, to get so raw and sober. Like, mm-hmm. It felt like you kind of moved away from the really intense, like jaw-dropping phrases and so forth to like, let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious as that really began. I was looking kind of to see who was there, and they just seemed more locked in. Mm-hmm. It was less of like the crazy and more of like, what's she saying here? And then you ended up with an altar call, repentance and believing in Jesus. Yeah. And I actually started getting a little bit emotional as I saw several people go up and you prayed with them. I just thought that was great.
It is. And it happens almost every day. Now, every now and then I'm on a campus that is pretty hard-hearted, like Wichita State.
She's saying names, dude.
Nobody came forward. I believe there are pockets of students that are very, very open to the gospel. That's the goal, that people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is life eternal, that you might know God. And I want every student to have that.
This isn't like in a bragging way. I'm like just curious, how many people have you been able to pray with they would come to know Jesus.
In 2023, I prayed with over 1,000.
Sister Cindy, here's to the Ho No Mo revolution.
Okay. Ho No Mo!
Ho No Mo!
Hell is hot, don't be a thought.
How can people that want to support your ministry find you, connect with you, consume more of your content? Where can they find you?
My favorite place is Instagram. Of course, I'm on Facebook. If you're older, I'm on TikTok. But if you really want to connect with me, follow me on Instagram. I answer all my messages personally.
Thank you, Sister Cindy.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
My time with Sister Cindy challenged the way I thought about ministry and evangelism. At times, I was fascinated. At times, I was uncomfortable. We may not feel called to replicate Cindy's colorful preaching style, but perhaps we should make space for it. Are people hearing the good news of Christ? Being called to repentance? Turning from darkness to light? If so, I rejoice.
We can't do this without your support. If you believe in this mission and want to support the project, go to patreon.com/paulandmorganshow or send a one-time Venmo donation. Links below. Unite, grow, entertain. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Psalms 133:1.
All right, guys, I got Sydney's.